You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, welcome back to the Handmade Podcast, episode 52, I think, right?
Sounds about right.
52 for 52 weeks in a year.
That's right.
Even though it took us a little longer than a year.
But we made it. Derek, you're not 52 yet, are you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. All year, I'm 52.
Huh.
For one complete year.
That went fast. I just remember when you turned 50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, Paul, you're turning 22 when? In November?
22. Mm-hmm. Isn't that 22. A Taylor Swift song, 22 or something?
Mm-hmm.
Who's Taylor Swift?
I forget that I'm 32 all the time.
Oh,
right?
My God.
32?
Huh?
Three?
No, I'm not 30. No, I'm 32.
Yeah.
I forget. There's no reason to care about it.
No.
Anyway.
What variety?
How old's your new truck, Paul? It's a little older than 22.
Almost 70 years old.
Wow.
Did everybody see Paul's new truck?
I did.
I hope so. But I'm having some identification. Nothing bad, but I think it's like almost the situation that I had with my Chevy, like my new truck, my regular truck, where it 52 and earlier. It was considered an F3. 53 and on, they switched to F350. On the title, it says 53 F3, which doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a 51 or 52 based off the front end. Like it's definitely a 51 or 52 front grille, whole front end. It's not a 53. Which is bizarre.
Can you verify based on the VIN number?
I need to do that. That's the next thing I got to do is do like a search the VIN number, and figure out what happened. But what I'm thinking is like my truck was the last year was made the last year they had the older Chevy truck body style, and then they just came out with the new one, all the new Chevys. They sold the new one at the same exact year. I think it was 2019. So I have a 2019, but it's an old body style, and you could also get a 2019 and the brand new body style.
Hmm.
So I'm thinking that they did it for like 6 months.
Yeah.
Instead of being an LT, like normally Chevy's like an LT or an LTZ, mine is an LD.
Huh.
So it might be a similar situation like that.
I feel like you. I mean, that. Think about how many times the title for that Ford has been redone, written, handwritten.
Right?
The first one was probably.
Yeah,
written on paper that disintegrated. What's the title look like? Is it like a modern like rebuilt title, or is it like a really old piece of paper?
It's not that. It's not super old. There's no way it's 70 years old, so it's got to be like
so it's been through like a couple DMVs, I'm sure. Was it a California title, or was it
yeah California.
I wonder if that was original, like always a California truck.
I don't know.
Did Constantine say that?
He didn't say. I'm not sure. It looks like it because it's not rusted like at all. Like there's barely any rust.
No, it's very cool. How did the move go, considering that it happened outside my shop and I wasn't there?
I know, dude.
And then you called me and I had no service and I was like, shit, I hope he's not like in a jam and I can't even like... I tried calling you back, then your phone died. I was like, I hope... And I'm in my head, I'm like, if he can't figure out how to make it work with all the shit I have, dude, he could weld a new trailer from scratch. Yeah,
exactly. I knew everything was in there. It was just a matter of finding it.
Yep.
But I got it all out. I tried the winch, and I opened up the package to your winch, nice brand new winch. I'm like, oh, shit, this needs to be bolted to something.
So yeah.
Like, this isn't going to work.
That's so true. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. I went under your torch mate. I'm like, oh, my God, this thing's deep under the torch mate. So I had to drag that thing out. We brought the chain hoist up there. That got jammed a couple times.
Yeah, because it was on its side, right? Yeah.
Not doing what we were supposed to be doing with it. Drag the thing up onto the tilt trailer. First of all, I just want to say the place reminds me of Vietnam because I'm stepping over sand walls of sandbags. There's mosquito nets in all the doorways. It's like you're in a bunker in Vietnam. Like, it's so funny. He's like, you know, it really is like a bunker. But anyway, I found all the shit. I moved all the sandbags at Lewisfield from Seacliff Beach.
Oh, my God.
And it took a couple hours.
What, because to go over the sandbags? Or?
No, to load the truck, and then Constantine showed up just as we... It took a couple hours to do the whole thing, but we got the truck on pretty quick. But then we had to get two extra flatheads that he had. We had to move all his shit in that garage. There was stuff in the way. Then he has literally like a Home Depot iHook that he has going up through his ceiling, attached to God only knows what up in the attic, that he's like, oh, I did this so I could move these motors back when I first got them. And I'm like, this is like, it's one of those iHooks where it's like 100-pound weight capacity, like where it says it in the little...
And he's got like a 300-pound motor on a chain hoist?
No, dude, those
motors...
He's got like
a keychain carabiner holding it.
Those motors must have been like 500-600 pounds because they had all the heads on them and the cranks in them and the oil pans and shit.
Oh, Jesus.
And they're solid cast... Everything's cast iron, so it's heavy as hell. And so he's had
like,
a come along,
right too. Into a 2x4.
He's like, you know what it was? That he's an electrical guy. This electrician shit. That, what's that track they use?
Kindorf.
Kindorf.
He's or like, Unistrut. Whatever.
I got a piece of Kindorf up there. I'm like, oh, great. So it's definitely going to come flying through the ceiling. But we got it in there with a come along that he used and cranked it up. And Louis, you know, talking shit the whole time, you know, harassing the poor guy. as he always does.
How old
does.
Is this guy? How old's Constantine?
It's like in his 40s. He owns a union electrical company.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was talking
really
about his
nice
work.
Guy.
He's the nicest guy and they do big work. He does like housing. He does a lot of city subsidized housing jobs where they'll do like 200 apartments in like Newark, New Jersey.
Oh,
and
wow.
He's got, you know, like whatever it is, probably 200 guys working, you know?
Wow.
He's the nicest guy, and I'm so glad it worked out. It's like I would love to have, like, I'm upset I wasn't there obviously just to help, but I just would have loved to seen like the fiasco of like getting all the
so
shit
funny.
And it looked like that thing barely fit on that trailer.
Oh dude, it barely fit. It was the biggest trailer I could get. Well, United has a bunch of different trailer options, but it was the biggest one I could get at my location. It was 16 feet and it literally just fit on. The other one I could have gotten weighed like 7,000 pounds on its own, and it held like 14,000 or 15,000 pounds, and my truck's only rated for 9,000.
Yeah.
And my big truck doesn't have the trailer light hookup installed. I didn't do that yet, so I was screwed. But it ended up working out. Plus, dude, my truck was so overloaded because my truck's basically a Chevy Suburban with a bed on the back.
Yeah.
It's not made to do anything, but you know, just drive like an SUV, and it's a great truck for that. But
yeah.
I had extra gas tanks, transmissions, two engines in the back, a bunch of other shit, like the intakes and everything. I had a equipment that we brought, car jacks and shit.
Yeah.
Plus the trailer and the truck on the back, which I think was a lot heavier than I thought it was. And my truck was like dragging on the ground. I was doing the Carolina squat all the way.
Dude,
home,
that's a long drive too. That's not like an easy,
yeah,
like,
I was,
oh, we'll go.
When I seen that, you know, truck, I thought you were using your other truck. I was,
no,
like, holy shit.
I wish I had, yeah, the other truck, but I didn't. I need to do that now, you know, to hook the trailers up.
No,
stuff,
you made
but
it. So
I made it okay. There was a couple bumps I hit where the whole truck was going like this, and I'm like, this could,
oh,
go really
my
bad.
God. And that has, I mean, at least that's a good trailer with like a breakaway and all,
yeah,
the shit that you would need.
New.
God forbid.
Yeah.
God forbid your trailer hitch just blew off that vehicle. At least you wouldn't have left, yeah, the thing on the side of the road. But dude, you're lucky you didn't get pulled over by a DOT inspector. Because that would have been, I think you would have gotten hit for being so overloaded. You probably would have gotten a couple of nice
I don't think anyone would
nice
have
fines
noticed, though.
Because
it wasn't...
I don't think
they
have any cops down there. Every time I drive through,
dude,
I've never
there's
seen
cops,
any cops
everywhere in New York.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
every,
maybe New York,
everywhere.
But Connecticut...
Connecticut has no cops.
And New Jersey doesn't either.
Connecticut
like,
has no cops.
I just went to Philly. It's like, I swear to God, I'm doing 80 and everybody's beeping at me and passing me. Like, I'm...
Yeah,
I'm
I know.
Slow-poke. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
No, people. Connecticut's bad, actually. You know, they're not defunding the police, but it sure seems like it, because every week someone in a Toyota Corolla goes careening into a ditch right outside my shop, because I'm right on Route 8.
Yeah.
And there's,
yeah,
an accident every single day.
I don't see any cops going through Connecticut.
There's none.
Or, yeah, maybe I did in New York. Is New York blue and yellow? Who's blue and yellow?
Yeah. No. Their state police might be.
Yeah
their state police are.
Yeah, but I'm like, every time I go through there, I don't ever see one cop. And it's like, now I know why everybody does like 85, 90 through here.
Dude,
yeah,
it's crazy.
It's bad.
I was getting honked at today driving home from New Jersey, and I was like in the left lane going like 70, and there's a car,
yeah,
maybe like, you know, you're supposed to have a car right between,
yeah,
for every 10.
Drives me nuts.
So
yeah,
I keep
right
my distance.
Yeah.
And this guy pulls up
they
next
pull
to me
right
and is like waving his hands that I'm not going,
yeah,
fast enough. So he cuts in front of me and is stuck right behind the car that I was behind. I'm like, dude, what?
Yeah.
So then I pass him and just kind of like that. Just look at him. I'm like, give me a fucking,
yeah,
break, you know? And plus, like, you know, there's,
yeah,
I don't
want
to stop short.
It's like, come,
yeah,
on. Yeah.
Like,
I
don't want to stop short
road
anyway in any vehicle, but especially in,
yeah,
a Sprinter where there's, like, you know, stuff,
yeah,
in it and,
oh,
stuff slides and, like,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, you just,
you
get crushed
take,
and die.
You take a miter saw to the back of the head?
No,
yeah,
yeah. Well, now I have it still set up in, like, camper. Yeah, the porta potty will be the one that comes and kills me. You know,
number two off the back of the head.
Shit everywhere, literally. That's super exciting, Paul. Are you going to get a lift? Are you going to invest in a lift? I feel like
if
it's probably worth the money.
If I find one, I definitely put one in. Louis has one like 50 feet away in the other side of the building. But I would, if I told him, I'm like, if you find one, just let me know. I'll buy it. I'm trying to get him to move his stuff in here.
I'd
like to have him in here.
Like, so Home Depot does the, like, deal of the day, like,
mm-hmm,
and their special buy of the day, and every now and then they have, like, they do, for some reason, like, a sale on, like, automotive stuff, and they'll do,
yeah,
like, pretty good deals on two-post lifts.
Really?
From, like, real companies,
really?
Not, you know, it's not, like, a bullshit, because Home Depot, yeah, acts as a reseller for tons of brands, like,
yeah, that's,
like,
yeah,
you know, big to small. Like, they don't obviously sell the stuff at stores, but they,
yeah,
act as, like, a middle ground, and, every now and then they'll do automotive stuff in the special buy, and I always notice that they have lifts for like,
huh,
a good like 20% off, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, it's all got to be obviously freight delivered and all that stuff, but it might be, if you're not in a hurry to get one, it might be the kind of thing that's worth like looking into, you know. Because even,
yeah,
I'm looking right now, and like they sell like, you know, lifts. Some of them are $6,000, some of them are $3,000, but they all look like they have about a 9,000 pound capacity,
yeah,
which that truck can't be more than 5,000 pounds.
No,
I wouldn't think.
No, it's probably around there. Maybe,
yeah,
yeah,
so I mean, I would probably want, you'd probably want something that would at least lift 10 or 11,000, just so that you're kind of like,
mm-hmm,
like definitely good, because you know, you don't want to,
yeah,
be close to the limit. But even
still,
yeah, it's something that like you might be able to get a good deal for on a brand new lift, just for catching the right, you know, sale. I'll keep my eyes out for you, though.
Yeah, let me know if you see any. I'm going to,
yeah,
keep my eye out, because it would be nice to have, especially once I reassemble the truck, mm-hmm. like, and start putting it back together and everything's painted and, you know, I'm not going to be crawling underneath it, you know, that would be yeah. nice to have.
And I mean, you'll use it. It's like, you know, yeah, you'll use it on your own car. I mean, I wish I had a lift. If I had a big enough shop, I would 100% put a lift in it just so it's always there in case you have to do anything. You know, like if you want to rotate your tires, you just, like, who wants to go on a jack with jack stands and shit every time?
You know? I'm definitely going to get one at some point. Louis always finds shit, too. Like,
well, you could just pick that thing up with your forklift, too.
Yeah, they do look cool. What was that, Chris? I
said just pick it up with the forklift.
Oh, with the forklift?
Yeah.
I could.
Get underneath it with the forklift.
I could. But I don't know.
That's exciting.
And it started. We started it up.
I saw that. Yeah. You have to get, you know what you got to get? Like one of those, it almost looks like an IV bag. Where it's like a bladder for fuel. That's what Matt and those guys use when they want to like test fire a motor because they build gas tanks from scratch. They don't want to get fuel in them if like they have to be out to go out to be painted or anything. So you just it's like looks like an IV bag and you just hang it over it and you just put a fuel line right near the side of the carb and then it can actually run for as long as you want and you can you know kind of diagnose if it's getting any issues or whatever. So. Like Harbor Freight sells all that kind of shit, and it's like so cheap.
I'm gonna take a trip to Harbor Freight and get some shit. I know it's gonna pain.
Don't tell anybody that you went there, but
yeah,
you could get that.
Yeah, I gotta get some stuff there, just like an engine stand and like other little things.
I gotta pick up this phone call. Why doesn't Derek talk about what he's been up to?
Dude, because I got something going on my computer.
Uh-oh.
Right now.
Should I go on a rant real quick?
Hold on.
I don't know.
Anyways, I haven't been up to too much. I've been, you know, laying low just because I still have back issues. You know, I've had so many people reach out to me. It's been nice, but it's been overwhelming. But, you know, I've been seeing a chiropractor and physical therapy, and my back is feeling better. And I'm just doing some small stuff around the shop, like just picking up, cleaning up. Nothing too big, just in case somebody's listening. But no, I'm kidding. But no, I've just been doing that. I've been trying to mentally prepare myself when I'm ready to start doing some work down here to get it, you know, cleaned up and all that stuff. But I just been doing that, just trying to get back in the swing of things. It's like I can't believe I've been home for, I think it's been 4 weeks now, and it's just crazy.
Yeah.
Just time. It's going by so fast, and it's just, I got so many things I got to do. I had so many people I promised things to, and, you know, a lot of people have been understanding, and I've gotten some things out to people, and, but it's just, you know, just time just keeps ticking and going by fast, and it's like, I don't know what to do, you know, but, it's just been crazy. I got a couple of nice jobs coming up. I'm doing a sign for a gaming place in, I think it's Rochester, New York. It's a big Dungeons & Dragons sign. So I'm excited about that. It's real big. It's going to be hanging inside a store. And a guy just reached out to me to do a sign for a dive shop locally. And
I'm going to
be doing that. Yeah, it's really cool. Logo, it's like a octopus with like one of those old school diving helmets on it, like those are just really
cool.
So it's really neat looking. So at that, I just got so many goddamn things to do. I made like a third list of things to do. I have like list of things to do, list of important things to do, and list of things I gotta do or people are gonna like cancel. Really needs to be done. So but hopefully it's back, it just gets better. It's like I said, it feels good now, but I just don't want to really do anything because I'm just afraid it will
re-injure it, you'll be out for even longer.
Yeah, and it's funny, I as far as like a new tool, I went out to treat myself to a new tool last week, and it's like now like the food shortage and the coffee shortage is now like the tool shortage, you know. It's like you go to the store and there's like no tools there. It's like everything's sold out, you know. But It just, you know, it's crazy. But I was going to go looking at cars, but now I heard there's a car shortage, too, on new cars.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, so forget that. So,
what kind of cars are you looking for?
I was going to get another truck, another pickup truck, but I just, you know, I got to just relax and stop just buying shit, you know.
Yeah,
it's that's what I just tend to do when I get bored, and I really don't need a car right now, so I just gonna be happy.
Old truck or new truck?
I'd like to get an old truck, but right now I was gonna get a new truck, but yeah, an old truck would be nice, you know. But
a
new GMC. But you know, the old truck, I'm gonna wait till hopefully I move and have a garage.
Yeah,
it just no sense to have, you know. To have something now, you know, it'd be fun.
Oh yeah,
it is
kind of hard without the.
Yeah,
garage.
It's just a pain in the ass. I mean, we're gonna do.
You
got to
get out of
Malden. Yeah, no, that's the plan. You know, it's funny. One of Christina's friends, they went out to dinner, and she just like follows me, and she just keeps sending Christina stuff. You know, oh, here's a house with a barn, and here's this, and you know, but it's just like I'm in no position right now to move. I just mentally, I couldn't handle it right now. I gotta get a game plan together, and you know, I need some work done at this house. I was talking to somebody the other day to get some work started, and you know, maybe next year I'll do it, and maybe things settle a little bit. Just everything's so goddamn crazy right now. It's just I can't imagine. You know, a couple
the
people.
The thing is, now's the time to sell your freaking house. That's
no, I know,
problem.
I know, but people I know that sold, they're like renting right now, and I can't do that.
That's the other problem.
Yeah, you gotta go somewhere.
Where
are
you gonna go?
Yeah, you know, and it's like, I don't know. Maybe I'll go to Connecticut.
Yeah, why don't you become Derek from Fairfield?
Yeah, yeah, nobody will know.
Very
nobody
easily.
They'll be like, what happened to Derek from Malden?
I got space for you.
It's funny. I was getting my oil change the other day, and a kid comes out to me. He goes, "You're Derek from Malden?" I go, "Yeah."
Wow.
He goes, "I'm Brian." He goes, "I'm from Malden. I don't know you." I go, "Yeah." I says, "You know everybody in Malden?" He goes, "No, I grew up there. I never heard of you." It's like, well, I'm a big deal. Go look me up on Instagram, you little punk. No, he's funny. He's like, what do you do? I says, oh, go check me out on Instagram. He come over, he's laughing, but he's just he thought he had missed something, like there was like a big doings in Malden or something, you know.
Yeah.
What are you working on at the shop? Are you working on railing still, or what do you got going on? Yeah, more railings.
I was just doing stainless railings today, installing a bunch.
Yeah.
Got more to do in New York at that job.
Same customer, or is it just a...
There's three different stainless railing customers at the moment. Yeah, three different jobs.
Yeah.
All of them are like a little bit different. One of them is really different, and two of them are like pretty much the same thing. They're all cable rails, though.
Yeah. Now, does the architect come to you with the idea, or do you show them what you've done, and they kind of work off that, or how's that go?
Two of them have architects. One of them is this guy... We're like friendly with him. He's a real character. He's kind of just figuring it out. But it's an easy design. It's just 1.5 inch posts with 1x2 top rail and cables going across. That's what we're doing for him.
Yeah.
The one in New York is a real pain in the ass because it's just the design. Like, it looks cool. But functionally, what the architect came up with, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a little... It just doesn't work out quite like the way I would like it to.
Yeah.
Because it's flat bar, and it's not as strong as tube, and it kind of bends, and there's all these pieces that have to be bolted together, and then it's a nightmare to line them all up.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a cool design.
Yeah. But it's just a pain in the
ass. It's hard when you're doing things for the first time.
Yeah.
Like all the other railings we do, it's tried and true. Like, there's no way it's going to not work.
Yeah.
This is just a totally new design that, you know, you never know. And plus, it changed a little bit from what it originally was.
Yeah.
So that affected things also.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We'll see. We'll make it work.
Yeah. Nice. Nice.
Wait, yeah.
Where did Chris disappear?
I don't know. Something happened with the cat.
Yeah, cat must have been choking on like a frisky or something, like one of those little treats or something.
You know, my mom has almost killed one of our dogs twice now because she gave him like a treat hand or like sanitizer? She gave him like peanut butter. Oh, no, Jesus. No. She gave this one of the Pomeranians. She gave it like peanut butter, and this dog, there's something wrong with it. It like inhales food.
Oh yeah.
Like you'd think it has never eaten before a day in its life.
Do you
that's
have one
how
of those special
it.
Bowls? Lexi was like that.
Yeah,
Lexi
the where it's like a maze.
Yeah.
Dude, these dogs are so insane. They spin around the maze.
Oh my
so
god.
So for people who don't know,
that's what Lexi
it's a
does.
It's a bowl. Yeah. So dogs, you know, who eat too fast, like it makes it harder for them to eat. And then one of them's like a spiral, and this dummy just spins around the bowl as she's eating and works her way up the spiral to the middle.
Lexi would do that. Lexi would eat so fast, she'd start choking on the food. And Christina would have to lay her down and rub her throat so her food could, like, push the food down her throat. And be like, this dumbass dog, you know, God.
My dad had to resuscitate this one dog. The dog was literally dead. Yeah. It was blue, they said. I wasn't there for this. All this shit happens when I'm away.
Wait, choke on the food?
It choked on... My mom gave it a piece of peanut butter and bread.
Yeah.
You know, because she gives them snacks all day long. And this thing ate too fast.
Yeah.
And it literally turned blue. And my father had to, like, give this... They were trying to get this shit out of its throat.
Yeah.
Like, my father was giving it mouth to mouth in this dog. There's something wrong with this dog. This dog's got a lot of problems. It's breath is disgusting.
It sounds like Lexi.
Because it's got, like, something wrong with its teeth.
Yep.
The biggest mistake we ever made was getting all these Pomeranians.
Yeah.
Like, 10 years ago, my mom, she was like, I love these dogs. Like, I'm only going to get Pomeranians. We laugh about this today, how stupid it was. And so we go to this breeder, and, like, it was just a mistake. Like, looking back on it now that I'm older, I want to say, guys, are you crazy that you got dogs from this lady?
Yeah, that's what usually happens, because the breeders are, like, they're
the
nuts.
Breeders are psychopaths. Oh, anyone that's a dog breeder is a psycho.
That's what my buddy, he wants to breed his dog. He just got a dog. And I'm like, why would you want
What's
to
wrong
do
with
that?
People?
Because it's like, even he's. I says, what are the dogs selling for? He's like $700 to $800. So I'm saying to myself, so say it has four puppies, right?
Yeah.
You have to get them grand? Like their first set of shots. They destroy your house. You got to have all this shit done. And it's like, what, to make like $2,000? Like, it's so much
goddamn
work.
You belong in a mental
work.
Institution if you can breed dogs.
And then there's
and
so
cats.
Many dogs in shelters that need help. It's like,
that's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean? It's like, why would you do that, you know?
Our best dog is a pit bull boxer mix that we got from a shelter. He's the best.
Wow.
And they didn't tell us he was a pit bull.
Purebred dogs are, like, riddled with problems. They're, like, the worst.
Yeah,
they're the worst
that's what
investment.
I was just talking
about. Sorry. I'm back.
You weren't here, but we were talking about how my mom almost killed one of my dogs, and my dad had to give it mouth to mouth to
resuscitate.
This
is recently?
It
was the
purple.
Dog wearing a diaper?
It happened recently again.
He was
well,
blowing
sometimes
so
they wear
hot,
diapers.
He blew a shit out of it. Thank God it had the diaper.
Thank God it had the diaper. The dog had the diaper on?
Diaper.
Yeah, well, I have dog diapers in my house.
Oh,
at
my
the moment,
God.
Ready to go. But, yeah, the purebred dogs, you know. Unless you're going to spend, like, $25,000 on one of those German Shepherds that they fly in from Germany that are, like, military-trained, you could forget the purebred dogs because they're all, like, probably inbred and they all have problems.
Well, that's like Angela's brother wanted a English Staffordshire Terrier.
What the hell's that?
It's like a it's kind of like a pit bull. Yeah, it's a pit bull, basically. It's like a shorter, stockier pit bull. And he had spoken to a breeder. He had spoken to a breeder, and the breeder, like, had a dog with an underbite that the person that bought it rejected because the dog wasn't, like, genetically pure. So they sold it to him at, like, a severe discount. And they told him if he wanted, because when you buy a dog from a breeder, they make you sign a thing that says you won't ever breed the dog again. And they told him, I don't know, there's like some sort of ruckus going on in the background in my
the cat's jumping on the
wall. Vader's gonna have a conniption.
This episode is just a disaster.
Yeah, this ain't going
anyway,
well.
They let him breed the dog, so now he's breeding the dog with his pit bull, and we're gonna try to get some of the puppies if anybody wants a puppy.
Yeah.
Maybe I could buy diapers.
Clamp on my balls.
Yeah.
Are you gonna take one of the puppies?
Me?
Not me.
We might.
Yeah.
Depends.
Here we go.
This is how it starts.
Yep. Got the cat.
We got the cat. We're
gonna
have
the
dog.
There's gonna be two kids. Mm-hmm.
Christina's mother. They went to buy a yellow lab, and this is years ago. And they went down there, same thing. And the guy's like, "Oh, I got bad news." And they're like, "What's that?" They're like, "We went through the puppies, and one of them has a white paw." And they're like,
"The hell's that?"
Like, "Well, it's not
80% off. Yeah,
yellow lab. It's like they gave them the dog for free." The guy goes, "It's no good to
yeah,
me."
Yeah, we're going
to
shoot
gave
it.
Gave it to it, right? And they said, like, in a couple months, it grew out of it, and, like, the white spot went away. But, yeah, the dog was, like, useless, the guy said. He's like, "You can't
really
sell it." Yeah.
Yeah, this dog has, like, a tiny underbite, and they were like, "Yeah, it's not up to our standards, so we're just going to, like..." I think they gave it to him for, like, the cost of the shots. And then, like I said, they didn't make him sign anything that said they wouldn't breed the dog, so they never got it fixed.
Handsome as my Jackson?
Yeah.
My Jackson with his underbite?
Yeah, he's more handsome.
So handsome.
His name is Chompy.
Yeah. Chompy.
Yeah. Him and his sister / girlfriend killed a porcupine like a month ago. They shredded a porcupine, which didn't bode so well for them. The other dog, whose name is Snoop, wound up with how many quills in its face?
Wait,
like 700?
/ girlfriend?
Well, it's like it's a male and a female dog, but like they're going to breed the two dogs, you know?
Yeah.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I thought it was like, oh my God, are they really going to inbreed?
No, they're not inbreeding the dogs. It's like one of them was a rescue that's not fixed, and the other one is this purebred that's not fixed, so they're going to make puppies.
I'm like, hold on a second.
I hate to go there, but I recommended. I get this guy. He does all these crazy interviews.
Soft white underbelly.
With this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, what the fuck?
Yeah, he's got some. I just listened to an interview with
this?
Him.
What?
He does the craziest
he does
interviews.
An interview with this family. They're from West Virginia.
Yeah.
They're like,
oh my God.
Inbred.
I saw that.
Oh
dude.
My God.
They're like wild
guys
animals.
Like, guys like barking and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, holy
yeah.
Yeah, they're not. They're totally. What are they?
They're
incoherent. Oh, that's not the word.
Yeah.
But how do they even? They're so.
Oh, here we go. Phone's
so
ringing.
Problem, dude. Jeff shut this off already.
No, Jeff will listen to the end just
yeah.
to like see how bad it gets.
Yeah, he's angry right now. But I saw that video.
It's funny because I took down that post. I posted about getting the headphones and the mic. And I thought somebody that listened to the podcast said his audio sounds so shitty, I'm sending him a microphone.
Yeah.
And it ended up being from the TV show to do voiceovers. I didn't read the email. But, it's just funny. Though.
Yeah, that guy, Mark, what's his name? Mark Laida, he actually just got interviewed by my friend Adam, who has like a big like kind of rap 22. Podcast thing. Yeah, but I just, like, I happen to be on YouTube this morning and I saw that he'd interviewed him and I was like, oh, that's because I don't listen to any of Adam's interviews with like rappers. I could give a shit. But that guy's got just an interesting perspective on, like, you know, how he convinces these people to, you know, sit down with him and how he's got the guy, the YouTube channel we're talking about is called Soft White Underbelly. He said he's done 3,000 of these interviews. But he only has 900 videos uploaded, which still seems like a tremendous amount. Because he said, like, you know, in the 3,000, like less than a third of them are actually interesting. Like, he's, you know, and sometimes he said he'll fly out somewhere to interview people and he'll spend 2 weeks there and thousands of dollars and then it'll all be worthless and he won't use any of them.
Wow.
And then he talks about how, like, YouTube will, like, demonetize him. Because, you know, like because of the titles sometimes, or they'll just take the videos down.
You know what I don't understand?
Yeah.
Because of the demonetization, to me, I don't associate the ad in front of the video with the video.
No.
To me, it's a totally separate
100%.
thing.
100%. Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how, and I don't know if this is just a way for them to censor people, or they really, advertisers really do get mad. You know, I don't get how the ad, you know, because of the video might have some, you know, explicit content or whatever, or what, I don't know what it is, but why does that now make the video, you, like, why can't you run an ad in front of it? The ad's a totally separate thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get that.
Who interviews him, Chris?
The guy's name is, who interviews the guy from Soft White Underbelly?
Yeah. Yeah.
My friend Adam 22, he has a podcast called No Jumper.
Another interesting character.
Adam's a very interesting character. Yeah, he's got they have 4 million subscribers. He mainly does controversial rappers and Instagram famous people and TikTok people.
What's her name? Something the plug.
Yeah, his wife. They're they just got engaged.
They're married.
Yeah, Lena. They have a baby together. But I've known Adam since the BMX days. Probably known Adam since 2007. But now he's, in LA, does all that stuff, and they, vlog, and he's got 5 channels with over 1 million subscribers. He's killing it.
Wow.
But yeah, I was just shocked when I saw that he'd interviewed that guy, and I was immediately had to listen to it. But it's so funny because historically with his other interviews, this one has not that many views. Because it's just I don't think his viewers give a shit. His viewers would much rather listen to an interview with
a YouTube channel.
Little Dirk or something.
Or any girl from TikTok. He'd rather his viewers want to listen to that versus, anybody that actually does anything of real substance.
Yeah.
But yeah. Soft White Underbelly.
That's the guy that does those videos? The guy smoking a blunt?
Yeah.
That can't be the guy.
That's the guy that runs No Jumper.
That's Soft White Underbelly?
Oh.
No.
No, that's Adam 22.
What are you talking about?
Oh.
You're getting lost in the YouTube.
Which one?
The guy on the
Adam
left.
Adam 22's on the left.
Is that him?
The guy with the tattoos on his...
Or the other guy?
The one without the glasses on.
They both have tattoos, I think.
That's Soft White Underbelly.
No. That's the interviewer. So. Soft White Underbelly is. I'm gonna send it to you now. Now we've really digressed.
Is that guy?
People are.
No.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You're looking at the wrong episode.
Oh, it's a Soft White Underbelly. Oh, well, it has a bunch of things. Okay.
Yeah.
This is it.
We're all over the place.
Hold on. People said they like the banter.
This is a disaster.
So I'm trying to give them banter.
Well, if they join the $1,000 Patreon tier,
it's so riveting what we talked about
this?
The before show. I just can't even get my.
All right, I just sent it to you.
Here they are. Here's
in the group chat.
Here's the fam.
Yeah, that's the inbred family.
Oh God.
He raised $50,000 or $60,000 for them.
Yeah.
Or more, actually. I think. I don't know.
Yeah, they got a new roof.
Yeah, they got a new roof. Yeah, I saw that. They got a new roof.
I'm sure that money was invested properly into...
I know. He talks about it in the thing that the guy that... there's a bunch of local people that, take care of that inbred family.
Oh, really?
And they made sure that the money was, done, used properly and stuff. You know, it's...
They let him keep on expanding the family, or
no?
What?
I think that's long gone.
Yeah, it's like they went in that house though, and I could just smell that guy. Throw him in the shower. Oh my God, I felt so bad.
Good.
It was just like
you have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate?
What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Yeah, just so mental illness or whatever. I don't know.
You know what I listened to recently on the topic of podcasts is I listened to Steve-O interviewed Casey Neistat.
Oh my god! Yeah.
Oh really?
It was really good because it's like Casey Neistat's so like well edited most of the time. It was really interesting to hear him just talk about like regular bullshit, like about how he hates LA and like talks about being on YouTube. And the most interesting thing to me was he talks about doing the daily vlog and like how much it like affected his life negatively. But he about how he said it took him 5 years to get his first 400,000 subs, and then he went from 400,000 to 10 million in 18 months once he started doing the daily videos. Yeah.
I started watching him when he was like just under 400,000 because I remember his 400,000 video. And then it just went crazy.
Yeah.
Like it was like
I saw him one time at a hotel.
Oh yeah?
Oh really?
In Connecticut?
Yeah, this hotel in Rhode Island that we'd always used to go to. It's called like the Ocean House. It's a really like nice like hotel on a beach. And I saw him me and my friend Johnny. I think you guys know Johnny.
Yeah.
Derek does.
Yeah.
I saw that Casey was there.
Like on a vlog.
And I'm like, Johnny, we gotta No, he posted on his Instagram, and I know the hotel, so I'm like, oh, shit, I know where he is.
Yeah,
like,
we gotta go.
Say he was at this place, but I'm like, I know where he is. So I'm like, we're going. It's only like an hour away. And so me and Johnny go. I go there all the time, and we go right into the pool. We're like looking for him. We're like, oh, shit, he probably left, right? So we're just swimming in the pool, and in comes Casey with like some other guy. And I'm like, holy shit.
He's really here.
Johnny screws up and goes, you know the guy who he used to hang out with, like Sean, with the guy with the long hair?
Yeah. Yes.
Skateboard. I don't know.
Yeah.
So he's with a guy who looks like Sean, but it's not Sean, and I know it's not Sean. And Johnny goes, oh my god, Casey, oh Sean. And I'm like, oh,
that's
shit.
It's over now.
I'm like, there we go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Casey's like, oh, hey, guys, how's it going? I'm like, oh, good, good. We're like, and he just left.
Yeah, he's like, I got to leave now.
God damn it, Johnny. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And then give him the old, how do I get on the vlog?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the last thing I would have said.
Right?
I was like, I think I said something about, like, surf. Like, I don't know. I don't even know what I said. When we first started,
like, that was the big thing. Everybody
when we started off
to him in the city.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And he'd put them all on it, you know.
Well, I like what my buddy, what that kid Panza does. So anytime he's filming and somebody tries to shout out their own channel, he replaces their audio with him saying his own channel. So someone will be like, yo, check me out on Instagram. Like, and then Anthony will change it to like at Anthony Panza. Like,
who thinks that that's going to work?
Well, because, I mean, people that know him know he has like 800,000. He has like 800,000 subs. And, you know, I mean, you know, I guess if you... Sometimes I've heard him tell people like, oh, like shout out your, you know, your Instagram, like, or tell people about your YouTube, but people will just do it. Cause everybody,
yeah,
I mean, dude,
I think it's just,
you got to remember that, like, you got to remember that, like, I think it's like one in three or like some ridiculous percentage of kids under 15 want to be YouTubers. That's their career. Mm. That's like what, when you ask a kid what they want to be when they grow up, like one in three say they want to be a YouTuber cause they think it's a job. You know, like they think that this is like, you know, going out and like doing pranks and like, you know, buying shit and filming it is like you're going to make a living doing it because I guess enough people on YouTube do it and they've convinced them that it's a viable thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It is kind of nuts.
So when, you know, when someone sees somebody like Panza, especially too, because Panza like flaunts that he's, I mean, he does well because he sells bikes and merchandise and all this shit. Yeah. And he's also a professional bike rider, but he's constantly like buying Banshees and spending money and buying his friend's car. So people must think he makes $1 million a year, you know? But I just looked it up. So 75% of children ages 6 to 17 want to be YouTubers as a job. 75%.
Well, but you see that's going to be a problem.
Did you see when I was at the barber shop, my barber's buddy, he's an Italian kid, and he's just big on Instagram. He's got like 200,000 followers, but that's all he does. And
he's a barber?
No, it's my barber's buddy. But
he's got 200,000 on Instagram for what?
Dude, it's so funny.
Just being an Italian guy?
Yeah, pretty much. So I go on his Instagram.
What?
It's all in Italian, so I don't know what the hell. Like,
very compelling in Italian.
All his followers are in Italy, pretty much. But it's funny, like, he's got a lot of posts, like, he'll be in South Station, in a train station in Boston, and he'll, like, take stacks of cash and just start, like, making it rain from the balcony and stuff, and people are going nuts and everything like that. But, he did a post, my barber, I was going to repost it on my thing. He's, like, getting his hair cut. He's got the apron on. And the barber's like, okay, you're all set. And he rips it off him, and he's on his motorcycle. He's got a Ducati. He rips it up and just smokes the tie right in the barber shop. Just, like, burning up the tie. I was like, oh, my God, what a shithead. But I
did
I don't
that
know
the other day, and
really
I shot a
does.
Rock in my dad's eye. With my sister's dirt bike, he started screaming at me.
Oh, that's so funny. Too many toys. Did you get your big truck back from the dealership? Weren't you having AC problems?
I got it back with no fix because the part didn't come in.
Oh, the chip shortage.
I needed my work truck back.
Shortage.
So now, it's a gasket short, a gasket that they didn't put in when they built the truck.
No good.
The dealership opened up the truck and they're like, they didn't put this part in when they built it. I'm like, are you kidding me? And they had to get they couldn't just get the one singular part. They had to order the whole component that goes along with it. So that's going to come in like at the end of the week. So
crazy. Chris, what are you working on?
What am I working on? Well, I had a busy week last week because I can't say what it was for, but I guess I can say that it happened. They shot a commercial for. I had a production company in my shop last week shooting a commercial. It's not a TV commercial, but it'll be. I think it's going to be on Facebook and Instagram. But,
you weren't trying to fucking one up me, were you? With the TV?
No, believe me.
All right, I just checked. It just seemed a little odd.
This one, this was funny though. This was so first they said they were going to send. I think they said 14 people was the first thing. I said, oh, you know how many people are? So it's. And just to clarify backwards, right, this is a Facebook and Instagram ad that once it gets published, they haven't told me whether or not I'll be able to disclose that it was, like, done in my shop or, like, tag about it. So I might just have to keep it to myself, which I'm fine. They paid me enough to keep it to myself. So they said, oh, it's a 15-second ad for a beer company. And it'll be 14 people, they're like, it'll be pretty light. It'll be mainly, like, you know, it was... four people from one company, an actor, blah, blah, blah. And they said some people from the actual ad agency. So 14 turned into 17. 17 turned into 26. 26
wow.
people.
Oh, my God.
26 people. They came.
26 people and like 10 Clydesdales.
Dude. Yeah, right? 26 people. Yeah. They came the day before with a Sprinter filled to the ceiling with stuff. They loaded my shop. Then they came the next day with a 16-foot box truck loaded to the ceiling with lights and tripods and dollies and security and production assistants and tables of food and tents and just... They rented a secondary room in another part of the building for wardrobe and makeup and all this shit for 15 seconds. And that being said, they made my shop look unbelievable. The shots look incredible. Like, I got to watch through the monitors while they were shooting it, and it just looks like... So, I can't really say anything about it, but they just made my...
Can you recognize your shop?
Yes, you will be able... If you've seen my shop before, you'll be able to know that it's my shop, 100%. But they transformed it into looking like a different type of shop, They transformed it into looking more like a sculptor's studio, but they did have some, they wanted some blacksmithing work. So we heated up like a, I don't even know what kind of punch it was. It was almost like a rock chisel. It was like about 8 or 9 inches long and like 2 inches in diameter. And it already had a taper on the end of it. So I heated up the end with a rosebud and just like hit it on the anvil a few times and then quenched it. So like, it'll look like someone is sculpting in metal and wood and, and in the end, it'll be like the.
How'd they find your shop?
So they.
Do you know who recommended?
Yeah,
you
so it was actually through.
Was it that person that?
It's.
That gives you the other connections.
I don't know which person.
The I don't want to name names, but the one that you did the class for. Person you did the class for?
No. It was somebody completely different.
I didn't know if it was that
No. It was, okay. So it was actually, they wanted a jewelry shop location originally.
Oh, okay, that's right.
Yeah, and then they sent, so they show up and they take photos and then they send the photos to the brand and the brand says, yeah, we like the location. So they sent photos of the jewelry shop and they said, no, we want something more industrial. So actually one of the executive producers knew about my shop and follows me on YouTube and Instagram. And he's actually from, it's funny, the production company is from this town. They're just happen to be from Seacliff. So they just were like looking for a place that would be easy for them to deal with, obviously. And they knew my shop. So of course, when they first walked in, they were like, this place is great, but it's fucked. Like the shop was a disaster. The first meeting that they came to the shop in, they were like, yeah, we love it. But like, how much of this can you get out of here? And I was like, well, I was like, anything that's like small and on a table, we can just put in bins.
Said, well, you're in luck because everything's on wheels.
But they said, they're like, dude, at one point they asked me if we could move the strong hand table. Because they're like, oh, we noticed it's on wheels. And I was like, we're not moving it.
Oh, my God. Where the hell would you
That's what I said. I said, all we can do is push it like over. So they had, I could send you guys photos of the camera. So they had two cameras. These guys are literally sitting on each other's laps.
I saw these two dummies.
With the two cameras and then they have blankets over themselves because I'm grinding metal with the big 9-inch grinder. So it's like, and they're literally telling me, like, they gave me a mark and they said, all right, make sure the sparks hit this mark. Because it's easy to direct sparks with a grinder. Yeah. But there were residual sparks flying around, and the guys literally had blankets over them so that they wouldn't get, like, burns. And I said to one of the kids, I said, dude, you're not going to die. He goes, yeah, but I don't want to get scars from this either. I was like, all right, dude, just stop being a pussy.
Stop dropping.
Exactly. So anyway, that was last week, and then Angela and I went away up to Vermont this weekend. And you know what, Paul? I will tell you this. I went to, like, five different places to buy junk, and I didn't buy a single thing this weekend. Not a single thing.
Well, I'm proud of you because that's
it's
progress. It's
a big went to antique stores, went all over the place, didn't buy a single thing. I did buy some ammunition for my lacrosse sticks though, because New Hampshire had plenty
you
of that.
Lacrosse balls.
I bought some lacrosse balls because New Hampshire had a ton of it. So, but yeah, that's it.
It's funny when they do that filming, like how much room and how much stuff they use.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when they first got to Jimmy's, I was like, it was empty, his shop, and they're like, oh, this is going to be tight. And I'm like, tight?
Right.
So much room here. And then they have so much shit.
Ugh.
It's like, oh, my God. It's like just, you know, it's just ridiculous, you know. Just and it's funny, like, you know, like somebody's job is just to, like, catalog, like, all the camera equipment and, like, what they're using and what, like, media is in there and what they're shooting at and what they have and, you know, so they can edit it all. It's just so much work goes into it. And it's funny, like, when we were done shooting, we were having the wrap party, and, you know, the producer or the director or whatever, he's, like, saying, you know, he's like, so, you know, you guys did your job. Everybody here has a job. But he's like, there's, like, another whole crew of people that you don't know that has a job because of what you're doing. You know what I mean? And it's, like that. Like, it was a one-day shoot or whatever. But it's going to be, like, weeks worth of work. Like, a team's going to be editing that. And, you know, it's just amazing. All the people that catalog all the video and, you know, arrange it just so it can be edited. It's just so much work. It's just unbelievable.
They were saying, so, like, this one had, like, a quick turn. And they were like, yeah, like, we have to mail this today. Like, we have, so they, like, it was interesting. Wow. They had a guy, and I'm sure you guys had this when you shot, too. They had a guy doing, like, live color correction. And he had three, like they had to be like $5,000 or $6,000 like RAID hard drives, and they were labeled like one was the source, one was the backup, and then one was like the archive. So everything was triple archived, and one of them like stays with them. And I don't know exactly how it works in an ad like that, because it's like I think the client might own all the footage, like outright, because they paid them for the for this production, right? So like, or maybe the ad agency does, but like the guy was telling me that like when you shoot an ad like this, it's going to be a 5-second version, a 15-second version, and he said if they're lucky and the client like really really loves it, they'll re-edit it to a 25-second version, which would then go on TV and like be, you know, used over and over again. But you know, it's just like they have all that footage. And it's, you know, it's a whole day of shooting. A whole day.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, like, I guess, well, you know, we shoot, you know, my videos are sometimes 25 hours of footage or whatever for, you know, 20 minutes. So I guess it makes sense. But it's, like, it's just crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll get this wrong. But when they were shooting our stuff, it just, when you really think about it, like, that footage has value, right?
So oh, yeah.
It needs to be safeguarded and protected and duplicated and all this stuff. So there'd be a guy, Antoine, that would come in at, not at night, he worked, so we worked like 8 to 8, and he would come in at like 2 in the afternoon or 1 in the afternoon, and his job, he'd work till like 2 in the morning, and his job was to catalog it all and then ship it out. So they'd make a copy of it, and then, they, like I said, they'd have 3 copies of it, and the hard drives, the SD cards that they used were something like $6,000 or something. I forget how many terabytes each one was. Then they had the servers, and then they had a copy of those that they would like secure, and then they would they didn't like do it, you know, wirelessly or anything. They physically sent, but they had done so much footage. I think it was they were shooting. It was all in 4K. And that was like another whole thing. They had a guy that just specializes in 4K come 2 weeks early just to calibrate everything to shoot it properly in 4K. And they shot, it was, I think they're shooting 70 terabytes a week of video. And they ended up with 700 terabytes of video.
Wow. It's crazy.
Yeah, and it's just amazing. But like you think of it, like that has value. Like if that shows a runaway hit, it's worth, you know, whatever it's worth, you know, but it's a lot of money, you know, so it needs to be safeguarded and, you know, made sure it's not lost, you know, but it is, it's so much work, and it's just amazing the work that goes into those, you know, productions to make them even, you know, like you said, a 15 or 20 second thing. It's just a lot of people, you know. It's
yeah, just and I can only imagine what this commercial cost. Like, because if I just, like, assume that, like...
Did you try to get a sponsorship through them?
Just, no, well, you know, I will say, like, I did it for a couple... Obviously, I did it because they paid me to do it. They paid me to give them my shop, right? They rented my shop for the day, and they paid me well. And honestly, they didn't ask much of me, so I told them, listen, I'm going to basically... I'm not calling out of work. I basically worked my day job, too. Because all I did was, you know, basically sit around and make sure that nobody broke anything of mine. But I also just thought, like, well, this is a great opportunity to, like, meet a bunch of these people. And I will say, like, I had cleaned the shop before they came in, and everybody that was there, like, said something nice about my space. Like, everybody when they walked in the first time was like, holy shit, this place is amazing. Like, you guys look like you could do anything here. And I'm like, yeah, that's what we do. And then all the gears got turning in their heads, because these are all production and commercial people. So they're like, oh, like if we needed something like this in like a week's notice, could you do it? I'm like, that's what we do here. You know, like everything I do is rush, last minute, like, you know, just call me and we'll make it work. And like we do all this weird art fabricating stuff, which is stuff that no one ever does. You know, like you don't call an ironworking shop to do like an armature inside of a sculpture, you know, like the stuff they do it. So it was just like a good way to kind of meet these people and give them a resource that they didn't already have, you know. So I think at the end of the day it was a great experience. But I got there at 6:15 that morning, and they left at 9 p.m that night. So I was there for 15 hours with them. And it was, everybody worked all day. Like, and it's not like I was the only one there. Like, the producers were there with me. They got there at 6:45. I got there at 6:15. And 9 o'clock, we all said goodbye, and they left. And I was like, wow, this is a long-ass day. But I have to assume that commercial cost a couple hundred grand. You know, yeah, it had to be.
All those people. Yeah, I mean, everybody's getting paid. Yeah. And, you know, the cost of the equipment, mm-hmm. rental, all that.
And shit, the ad agency is billing the client, and then the ad agency is paying the producer. So the ad agency is making money.
Yeah.
You know, it's
and then you think, like you said, all the people working on it mm-hmm. now, you know, it just doesn't finish itself.
And they're all union. Cool. And you probably had this in your experience, Derek, but like the whole day they had somebody just shouting out how late they were. They'd be like 38 minutes over, 41 minutes over.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because if they go every, I think I heard at one point the two of the guys whispered to each other, they're like, "What does this cost us per hour once we go into overtime?" And he was like, "I know, I'm trying to figure that out right now." Because they did go into overtime, but that hour probably cost them like $5,000.
Yeah.
You know, $10,000, and that comes right out of their profit, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what was, like, always crazy. Like, we'd be done with something. You'd be like, oh, we're done. But it's like they're paying for those cameras from 8 to 8, mm-hmm. and they got their travel time. So, like, we would finish at 7. But they'd be like, we have 6 minutes left. Let's shoot this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like, hey, we're all done. Let's finish. It's like they take every penny of it that they can get because they pay big fucking money for it, you know? Crazy.
Yep.
Yeah, it's real interesting. It is interesting to see the backside of it and how it works. But.
Yeah, it's totally like a first world experience. Like middle of the day, I'm watching this production assistant throw out like $300 worth of food that nobody ate for breakfast. You know, like egg sandwiches and yogurts and orange juice and coffee, just all in the garbage. And I'm like, that's just, you know, like. And it's just gone. All right, cool. Then they do bring out lunch. I'm sure you guys had food every day. It's like, it's so wasteful, you know? And it's like, but I guess that's what it is. So, anyway.
Yeah. What are you guys watching on YouTube besides
Tyler Bell? I'm getting Tyler Bell.
Dude, come on.
No, he's mine. He's mine.
You saw me just post about Tyler.
Yep. Well, I have one better. I haven't received it yet. And Tyler, if you're listening, I better get my freaking tennis racket, bro. I bought one of the tennis rackets.
Oh, no way.
Oh, did you really?
I bought the first one. I was order number one on the Tyler Bell store. I was first.
Was he selling them? I hadn't like followed along the story. Like, was he selling them?
So he spent, first of all, and I don't know if you guys followed this. He spent
money.
$2,000 alone on just the razors for the rackets.
Wow.
$2,000 on that, plus all the other money that he put into it. And the video was sponsored by Stronghand. I mean, I have no idea how much they paid him. You know, what could they have given him, $1,000? Like, there's no way he has, like, gone flush on this video.
He's putting a lot of money in.
Yeah, he puts a ton into it, and he's totally cool with it. And he's, like, and he's said it in his stories before where he's, like, I'm fine with just, like, investing into this because he really, you know, he believes in it, and it's paying off.
He is going to be successful.
100%.
That's why I you know... I said something the other day. He's just going
to
be a big deal.
So he's selling the pieces of the tennis ball, and he's selling 4 of the tennis rackets that he made with the razors.
Really?
So I was like, I just, you know, they're $250, and he was giving like a discount for Patreon members. And I was like, you know what? Like, I know how much it sucks to burn a bunch of money on a video and like not get it back. Not to say that he won't, but I was like, you know what? If I can like help support, if I can help make him feel like this is all worth doing, then I'm going to. So I bought a racket. So I can't wait. I'm excited to have my Tyler Bell racket hanging on the wall.
Dude, he sent me a message like not too long ago. He's like, hey, I'm wondering about, I have a couple questions about like telehandlers. He's like, I'm trying to drop some type
he's
of
dropping
like 4,000
a mafia block. Did you see what his new video is? He said it on his Patreon.
No, what did
so
he say?
He was making a video, and I think it's genius, and it's on his Patreon, so I feel like I can expose this. He's making a video called Could You Feel a Dinosaur's Footstep? So he's gonna make a puddle like in Jurassic Park, and he's gonna drop the heaviest object he can find and see if it shakes the earth enough to like make the Jurassic Park puddle in a dinosaur looking footprint. So that's why he bought a 10,000-pound quick block, you know, like that you can pull the cable.
He told me that.
And
he's
renting a telehandler, and he's going to drop material until it shakes the ground.
He's doing Mythbusters out of his garage.
That's right.
He's got all their same shit. The releases.
That's
like
his childhood dream. That's no secret. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what basically he's doing. He's gonna keep making shit until somebody knows.
Until someone takes it. 100%.
Somebody will know. Yeah. So I'm sure they're already watching him. It's just a matter of figuring out how to do it. Because I love the shit he does. I don't follow. I mean, I follow him on everything, but I just don't. I'm not on enough to see what he's up to. I'll pop in every now and again, and you know, just message him or something. You know, just try to say something positive. But
he's gonna need a 12,000-pound lull. I told him. Like, if you're going to lift 4,000 pounds, like, 30 feet up in the air, and then release it, because when you drop something that heavy, that thing's going to spring back. It's going to, I'm like,
he really should, I mean, I haven't talked to him about that project at all. He should just get a crane company. He should just hire a crane for the day.
But no crane company's going to do that. They're going to say, what are you, crazy?
Yeah, maybe they would.
You find somebody that's got, you know, that might be into that shit, you know. Maybe. I mean, they might have an idea, a way to do it safely. Yeah. They may know.
I mean, if he's going to pay, like, if you tell a crane company, like, what's your rate for the day? Or you know what he should get? He needs a tree company.
Like
he needs
grand.
A tree company with a crane, because a tree companies are way sketchier than a regular crane company.
That's the problem. Crane companies, there's a lot of
rules.
Risk and rules and shit. Like, like, it's one thing if it's like Mythbusters, where they probably paid $50,000 to have some type of crane, like special company come in. Yeah. Like, and they're in California. Like, he's going to call and they're going to be like, you want to do what? Yep. And they're just going to hang up. Like, I had some guy call. My father answers the phone and the guy goes, hey, you guys do welding? And we're like, yeah. He's like, I'm looking to get two baseball bats welded together. We're like, for what? He's like, oh, I can't really tell you. And we're like, well,
call somebody
what do you
else.
Mean? Like, in the. Yeah, we're like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, I can't tell you. I need him welded either end to end, like, or he said, it doesn't matter.
It could have been Tyler Bell's cousin.
I'm like, listen, this guy's going to kill somebody or something with baseball bats.
Maybe,
I'm not getting involved. Why couldn't he tell
me? Maybe it was Smarter Every Day or something. And he was like,
no, it wasn't. And then the guy, like,
baseball bat
swore at us. You know? And then hung up the phone.
It's funny. My buddy, his friend owned a tree company local, and it was like a family-owned business, and the kids took it over from the father. And they, you know, the father was like just using old equipment, and they're like, you know, we got to bring this into the new millennia, you know? So they bought a brand-new crane. This was like $1 million, this thing. It was like $980, right? You should have seen this thing. It was unbelievable. So I used to get my firewood from the kid, and he literally made a log splitter, but it would do it with tree trunks. So he'd get the whole tree trunk, pick it up, and he would split it, and then he could take the quarter of it and then just force it through a firewood processor. Uh-huh. And it was like a big thing of, like, it was like 12 squares, and it was just like a potato, like the thing that makes the French fries.
Yeah, I've seen something
like
that before.
But for wood,
yeah.
And then it just cuts it, right? So I see this thing, and I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, that thing's unbelievable. He's like, yeah. He's like, we paid $980,000 for this crane, ba, ba, ba. 2 weeks later, I'm out in, like, western part of the state. It's all, like, bump-to-bump traffic. I'm in a soccer match with the kids. I'm going to get a coffee. I look. That fucking crane is on its side, right?
Oh,
the boom
God.
Of it through a house. Cut it right in half the house.
What?
The thing was 2 weeks old.
So
right?
They picked something too heavy in it.
No, what would it end up happening? He ended up getting found not at fault. He was on a hillside, and it had rained out a ton, and the hillside let go just enough, just to twist it. But just what happened was it didn't knock the crane over. They had a tree up, and the tree swung, and then the momentum of it coming back pulled it right over.
Oh my God.
But he goes, dude, he goes, that thing, it fell like right in slow motion. Mm-hmm. He goes, thank God nobody was in the house. Nobody got hurt and nothing.
Oh my
but
God.
Literally right into the house. $1 million crane. He probably had it for months. I seen it 2 weeks after it happened. I don't want to say it was 2 weeks old. It might be 6 months.
It wasn't that
old. It was new. Oh no, it wasn't. Yeah. It still had new crane smell on it.
Oh
but,
my God.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was like eight wheels. It had like the four wheels in the front that turned and stuff. I'll have to find a picture of it online.
I'm sure,
I'm
sure
a crane like that.
Oh my God.
At one of our jobs.
But yeah. Yeah, funny.
Oh yeah.
I would imagine a new crane like that has so many safety features and so many computers that tell you that you're extended too far.
Yeah,
it wouldn't allow you to do something dangerous. So
like I said,
you're right, it probably was.
Yeah, yeah. It was just a thing that
it was a landslide, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny, so, the talk about like sensors that don't let you do stuff. So like the Sprinter has all sorts of 360 sensors and shit. So if it thinks you're about to back into something, you know, it goes like from the beeping to a solid tone, it'll kills the gas. So if I'm like backing into like a tree, and let's say I just want to kind of hit the tree so I can get back further, I have to tap the gas like two or three times before it'll register, because it's trying to keep you from hitting it. Like it's trying to be so safe that it doesn't allow you to drive it. And like guys that off road and the Sprinters like can't stand it, because you'll be going up like a ravine and you'll lose all your power because the truck will think you're hitting.
Off roading,
dude. I seen videos of guys going up like.
Think of a worse vehicle to off road in. A top heavy.
Well, I guess they're pretty. The center of gravity is actually pretty low once you've like done them.
That's true.
And they have really high ground clearance, so like they're pretty capable. I mean, it's still like a Mercedes four wheel drive. It's like probably pretty damn good. I don't know. But yeah, Tyler Bell is my pick. So what have you guys been watching?
Well, I'm gonna give you one that's not as great as Tyler, but he's right up there, is Make With Miles.
Okay.
You're following him
at all? I think I've heard that.
You know who he is. Yeah, he's a young kid. He's like 17, 18. Might be a little bit older. But he does some amazing stuff. He was doing during...
Kumiko guy
through his thing real quick here, and he was doing like stop motion animations and stuff. You guys definitely know who he is. He goes to a lot of things. He's always with his father, but he just done this guitar amp.
Wow, right here. It's beautiful.
The screen for it. What do they call it? Kumiko.
Yeah, that's like
when they do the little things there.
Yeah.
I always want to try that, but you gotta have patience to do that. I can't do that. But he makes a lot of cool stuff. He does his video editing's unbelievable. He does a lot of.
Yeah, I just subscribed to him. Shout out to Make With Miles.
Yeah. His father is, he's always going to things and stuff. His father's name's Matt, I believe.
Nice.
And he follows me. He's a good guy. He does like I think he repairs sporting goods, like
mountaineering stuff.
Do like mount, yeah, like real good like gear like that, like shoes and stuff, like mountain climbing shit and stuff like nice. That.
Make but, With Miles,
yeah, nice kid, yeah, very talented kid.
Yeah, his stuff looks cool. I'm looking through his page now.
Yeah, he does some really good stuff. Like he was doing some really. He did like a stop motion animation during COVID. I don't know if it was on his YouTube or Instagram. I was like, holy shit, man. It was so long. And I was like, this kid, man, you can tell he's locked up. He's like got nothing else to do but stop motion animations. But it was like, it was really, really cool. It must have been on his Instagram. He did it. I think I showed it to you guys because it was like a kid skateboarding and stuff. It was like just very, really, really, really well done. So I'm gonna look it up. Let me see here. Make With Miles.
Paul, what have you been watching while he looks that up?
I was just watching I was watching videos on the Eastwood YouTube channel about doing like body work.
Stuff. Oh my god, I can't believe you're saying that. Really? I've been watching that stuff too. Yes.
Yeah, because I got to restore a car now. So
no more railings. You just get every time we talk to you, instead of being like, "Oh, I'm working on railings," you'd be like, "Yeah, making Bondo."
Yeah,
doing Bondo. Oh, I've seen that before.
Oh wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it's like real long. It's really.
You know what that reminds me of? Remember those videos? I think they were on like Instagram. Of it was like stop motion, but it was like. Like clay, what is it like claymation?
Yeah, claymation. Yeah,
but it was, it was one of them. I remember it was like a knife, and it was like all like claymation. But he was cutting like an avocado,
yes.
And then it turns into dice. Bad.
That's the guy
yes.
Pez.
Yeah,
like Pez. He's like a very famous stop motion animator.
Yeah, it was like the thing. It went viral. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. He would like chop up a vegetable, and it would turn into like a bunch of like dice. And then he would chop those up, and it would turn into like. The houses from like Monopoly or something.
Yeah,
like, it was like all weird, cool
he's
shit.
He's super, like a very famous stop motion animator.
Yeah.
He's done some really
cool
stuff.
Yeah. I gotta look that up again. Yeah, but just Eastwood.
Stop. You should talk to Eastwood because they will work with you 100%.
Oh, yeah. Really? Oh,
when okay. I was when I had the Ford, I had talked to them about doing a bunch of work on that, and they were like, just send us a list.
Let me go follow.
And you know who else I got hooked up with them is Parts and Restoration. And now he's he's like all like they love him. They do like ads with pictures of him. I mean, look at what he's doing to that Power Wagon. You know, like he's doing. I mean, I know you're gonna do like a ground up restoration of that Ford, but like that Power Wagon work he's doing is so insane. It's so beyond.
Wasn't it like bare, like it was really was not. It was like almost not salvageable.
Yeah.
That
I mean, dude, he literally wire wheeled every inch of that thing. You know, like.
Oh my god! See, that's when you gotta say, "Let's just get the sandblast mobile blasting."
No, he did it all himself.
Let's do this the right way.
He's like soldering his own radiators. Like, I mean, he's just like he's nuts. God. Like rewinding his magnetos, like in his sandals.
He's a real character, that guy.
Shout out to Dave from Parts and Restoration. He is the best.
Yeah.
But it's Eastwood is great for that stuff. They make a ton of really specialized like rust reforming products and.
Yeah, they have a ton of shit.
Yeah, totally. They make a lot of different stuff. You should definitely. I can give you a contact there.
That'd be great.
They're like, you know, seem super nice.
Guess who just?
Don't reach out to the
who just followed me was a fake Bonsai Garage.
Yeah, I've been seeing that
account. Just as we were doing the podcast.
My friend Anthony Panza, he has this thing called Bonzi Garage where he like raffles off quads and stuff, and he's got like an imposter account that's been trying to scam people.
Really?
Yep. He's been trying to get verified on Instagram, and there's like multiple fake accounts of his and he can't get verified, which is like kind of funny considering he's like got multiple people making fake versions of his account and stuff.
The whole verify thing is such like a pretentious Hollywood thing, like I don't know, it's kind
like
of
I
weird.
Wonder how they do it, but
yeah
because we know somebody who they called up an agent and all of a sudden bam,
they get the
check
mark.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, lucky them.
Anyway, I think that about does it for this week's episode of the Handmade Podcast.
Yeah,
shout out to all the patrons.
Thank you for the four people that are still listening.
Jeff, we appreciate you. And Keith Decent. I know Keith and Jeff are still listening, so I want to send a personal thank you to Keith and Jeff.
Yeah.
Shout out to them. Shout out to Tyler, who I don't know if he listens to this podcast, but I texted him the other day when his video came out.
Better.
As soon as it came out, I just texted him. I was like, dude, congratulations. You did a great job. And, you know, I think it's he's getting it done. So that's it.
Yeah.
Nice. We'll see everybody next week. Shout out to Patreon. Check us out, handmadepodcast.patreon.org. And that's it. Goodbye.
And Derek from Alden.patreon.com.
Yeah, Derek from Patreon.com.
Yeah, whatever it is. Thank you.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.